Welcome to another edition of Eagles Unscripted. I'm Scott Graham. Tonight on the program, several members of the Eagles bring holiday joy to a local youth academy. And we're also going to meet the guy who now owns the Eagles' record for the longest punt return for a touchdown in team history. But first, an opportunity to meet one of the members of the offensive line that we're seeing a lot of these days, Dennis Kelly. We are joined by Dennis Kelly, Eagles offensive lineman. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Be hard not to see you. I've heard you're somebody that actually kind of likes to fly under the radar a little bit. I'm going to guess at, what is it, 6'8", 320?
Yeah.
Hard to do?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. But, yeah, when you're this big, you get stares wherever you go.
So what's the roughest part of being 6'8", 320?
Shopping. Shopping for clothes is definitely the hardest part.
So the clothes, I would have thought like fitting through doorways and sitting in cars and that kind of stuff, but I hadn't even thought about that. Mm-hmm.
Does he put it in the belly of Brown? He does. And Brown in for the touchdown!
Dennis Kelly very happy on that right side, and he should be because he does a great job of getting the block. He turns his body to the inside and creates that run lane.
What's this whole experience been like? I mean, I've got to imagine that a first year, first trip around in the NFL, that's got to be an eye-opening experience, not just what's happening on the field, but just life in general, right?
Absolutely. You know, best way to describe the experience is fantastic. Just with everything that happens, you know, the amount of responsibility that's put on you, you know, the fact that you don't have school anymore, so it's just football, and you're an adult now. It's kind of hard to say that you're in the real world because we still play a game for a living, but there's still a lot of things that even, you know, senior year in college, you don't expect to happen. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Offensive linemen are different in a lot of ways. First of all, you're not the guy with the ball in your hands. Mm-hmm. You're not the guy who's pulling down the interception. You're not the guy who's bringing a punt back 98 yards for a touchdown. So people don't know you guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's different in and of itself. I mean, for people who are athletes, who are stars growing up, to be an offensive lineman, very rarely do you get those kind of accolades. I'm guessing with your personality, you're okay with that.
Yeah. My head coach in college used to joke, you know, we're all here because we're not all there, talking, you know, about our mindset. But you know, it's something you just, you know, we figure the offensive lineman mindset, I think you talk to any offensive lineman, is kind of just go to work and do your job and, you know, don't worry about things outside of your control. And yeah, I think it fits my personality really well. You know, just do what I have to do and everything will fall into place.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I've also learned that offensive linemen over the years covering football, being around guys, are some of the brightest guys.
Mm-hmm.
Around. Now, why is that? Why are the offensive linemen, and I'm not saying that about anybody else, why are the offensive linemen the smartest guys on the field?
I can joke and say, you know, we're not worried about our celebration dances or anything like that. No, I think it's because, you know, again, it's just worrying about our job. We learn what the defense is doing. We need to know what the offense is doing, what the formations are. So we really have to understand the game in general, not just our assignment, where, you know, other positions who still have a lot of very smart players might just have to worry about their one thing.
Is there a bond between the guys who are all here and doing this for the first time go around?
Yeah, I think so. I think our rookie class is very close. You know, at the symposium, all the people that were drafted, we got along really well. We really clicked there. And then you have all the undrafted players who made it. And just we mesh really well. And I think it's because we all have played a lot, we can kind of relate to that fact.
You're all kind of going through similar experiences now in some way or another. But, I mean, I don't know that you would have foreseen way back when at the symposium or in the middle of OTAs or when you were at Lehigh, mm-hmm. that there was going to be a day that you were going to be protecting for Nick Foles in the middle of an NFL game this year.
Right.
And yet it happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's got to be something a little bit special about that, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, during the summer and during training camp, we all thought that the rookie class, you know, had something special, had that, you know, that talent level to have a lot of playmakers and, you know, people that make a difference on the team. But for it to happen this quickly is different, but it's also, it's a very special thing, and so it's worked out pretty well.
All right, so you've watched NFL football, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now you're there. Now you're in the trenches yourself. What was it specifically that you saw, aside from just the different speed of the game, or what was it that you saw that may have surprised you? It was, wow, I didn't quite expect to see that coming at this level.
You know, I think it's a combination between the personal responsibility and the free time. This is coming, you know, for me right out of school, where, you know, you had 7:30 class till 1:30, you had to squeeze in a lift between then, lunch, breakfast, practice from 2 to 7, dinner, study tables, and so you're out of the room from 7 to 10, and you do it every day. Whereas here we have a, you know, regular work schedule, and I think that really caught me off guard. I know a couple of the rookies and I were talking about it, how we expected it to be the same thing, but all football. And then you add that with the personal responsibility of making sure that you watch film on your own, knowing the game plan. The coaches, you know, they tell you what to do, and you need to know it.
You're an adult.
Exactly. And so I think that definitely was the biggest surprise for me, just to kind of where I was used to the college structure, and now it's do what you have to do to be able to do what you have to do.
Are you a good self-starter?
Yeah. I think, you know, it kind of took a while to kind of understand how much I needed to do. But I've, in college, I did a little bit. Not as much, because obviously we would have scheduled film times and everything like that. But I knew what I liked to look for, and I've been able to kind of find that. Watching film now, obviously it's a little bit more difficult because the players are better and, you know, the defense is disguised a lot better. But, you know, I think I've found a good formula.
Thank you. We've enjoyed you being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coming up, a local youth academy gets a holiday visit from the Philadelphia Eagles when we return on Eagles Unscripted.
Thank you.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good, and by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Rise Academy is the first charter high school in the nation specifically dedicated to serve youth who have been in the care of the Department of Human Services. So we are really sensitive to the fact that our students have had really, many of our students, not all of them, but many of them have had really hard experiences. So the mission of Rise Academy is really to take young people who have been in system involved, who have been in the care of the Department of Human Services, from wherever they are to able to be confident, able to be competent, to move through the world, to make good, sound decisions about their lives, and to really have choices.
All right, here we go. Now, so your happiness, like seriously thinking, like, what will make you happy?
Our mission is to make sure, number one, that they complete school. One of our major goals is to give them options when they graduate. Obviously, to give them an opportunity post-school. Success for them could mean college, a trade school, just getting a job after school. So our mission is to make sure, number one, that they complete school.
This school, it feels like a family atmosphere. You can build really like close relationships with the adults, and two of my teachers last year, like, they were like kind of like my best friends. So it's like you could really get like a family thing out of being here when you go to this school.
Some of the adults in their lives have not been reliable, consistent, truthful. They need a lot of experience with adults who are reliable, who are consistent, who are truthful, who do deal with them with respect.
Each and every one of them know me, and they know a unique thing about me. I can come to each and every one of the staff, and they all give me advice and keep me on track, keep my head on study.
In other schools, you always feel as though you need to keep it a secret of who you are. But when you come here, you're able to express yourself. Everyone has something in common with someone because we're more free to talk with each other about it.
Between 70 and 75% of youth in care drop out of high school in Philadelphia. You know, attendance at Arise is not great. So we're always out chasing students, trying to get them in the building, trying to figure out what the barriers are to them.
Right now, me and Vinny are headed to New Jersey to the Sports Authority to grab a couple items for these kids at Arise Academy. Kids, you know, that put in the extra effort to make it to school and have perfect attendance.
you know, just kind of want to continue to encourage those guys to go to school and get an education.
What's going on, Ryan? Vinnie Curry, how you doing?
Ryan, pleasure to meet you. Ryan,
Ryan Brandon Boy.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for having us here. You guys have been great. You know, we've got 11 deserving kids. You got pick out a couple jackets for them. We're going to start with the ladies. You think you can show us where that at?
Yeah, that's awesome. We're glad to be a part of it. Well, I want to show you guys where we're going. As you guys can see, we have plenty of coats to choose from. Kind of dig it and see what you guys like.
She going to need something that's, that look good, that she going to want to wear every day. Oh, this is hard.
I like this.
Me too.
This looks like Kenny right here. This for you, Kenny. That's it.
That's it. Hopefully the kids like what we picked out for them, you know. You know, it should be a good evening.
I'm glad y'all came out, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We happy to be here, man.
They came out today for you guys for perfect attendance, and you guys have jackets for them as well, correct?
Yeah.
So we're glad to have you. Glad to have you guys.
The Eagles have been, I mean, more than generous and gone above and beyond in the past couple years with working with us. And the amount of support that we receive from the Eagles is really invaluable. It's also about the experience that our kids have been able to have and the people that they're able to speak with. And those are the big things.
I think the Eagles got the most potential out of any team. Play, like, position-wise, I really think we got the best.
I love this question.
Hey, you don't need to be a cornerback. You need to be Stephen A. Smith, bro. You need to be on ESPN.
I mean, I always see them on TV, but, I mean, I never, ever got to really see them in person. Never. So when I finally saw them, I was like, wow, like, am I really meeting them too early?
When the Eagles contribute to supporting our kids and recognizing them and their hard work, that so matters to them because they are so proud of their accomplishments, and there just aren't enough adults who say, great job. So when people like the Eagles come in here who they see as bigger than life and say, you matter enough to us that we're gonna jump in there and give to you, you know, not because we feel sorry for you. They don't want people to feel bad for them. They want people to be proud of them.
You know, that one-on-one interaction, I think, means more, a lot more to them than just some random person telling them what to do. And I think they respect it, and it'll probably stick with them for a long time.
For Brandon and I, you know, we get to know those kids. It was good. Giving out jackets was okay, but, man, it was more important, you know, just seeing them smile. I mean, it was just a good feeling, man. It was something special to be a part of.
When we return, Merrill Reese takes a look back at the original Miracle of the Meadowlands when Eagles Unscripted continues.
He's looking for the Carmichael. He's got a play. He's got a goal. Lock to have a midfield. 45.
They stop him again.
And Bednarczyk fumbles the football. It's picked up by Herman Edwards.
We went into that season excited because Dick Vermeil was really Mr. Excitement. He was a charismatic coach. The city was into the team. This town just took to Dick Vermeil, and they believed he was going to take this team the distance. Herman Edwards was a terrific player. He was a great playmaker, and he had the propensity for being in the right place at the right time. I think realistically we knew that this was not the best team in the NFL, but this was a team with a chance to at least go to the playoffs. You saw an ascending team getting better and better and better, and you knew that this team, they were arriving. They were beginning to find themselves as a very special team. And then came that day, November 19th, 1978. Giants got off to a 14-0 lead in that game. As the game went on, there wasn't much to it. Just kind of felt that the Eagles were about to go down to a lackluster defeat. A game that they really needed to help their playoff chances. But on this day, it simply wasn't going to happen. Doug Kotar, who was a pretty tough running back for the New York Giants, fumbled the ball and gave the ball back to the Eagles. And now they have a chance. And Jaworski, unfortunately, throws a pick. That is it. The end of game, all over, but the cheering for the Giants. And so the Giants went into their victory series. Frankly, I was a little surprised when the Giants actually ran the ball on first down. I said, what are they doing? But then on second down, they did what you expect them to do. Joe Pazarczyk took the knee. But Berge ran into the center, and you can see the Giants were a little ruffled by that. So instead of taking another knee, they come completely unglued and they decide to run the ball on third down. Bazarczyk took the snap and he hands it off to Larry Zonka, but it clanged off his hip out of absolutely nowhere. I see this number 46. Herman Edwards scooped up the ball as he scampered all the way in untouched for the touchdown. And you could have heard a pin drop. And that was it. I knew I had seen a play for the ages, something more surprising than I had ever seen. And I remember yelling, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I do not believe what occurred here, ladies and gentlemen. Herman Edwards scooped it up and ran in for the touchdown. That stands out as the single most remarkable thing I have ever seen in an NFL game.
When we come back, we'll be joined by wide receiver and punt return man Damaris Johnson here on Eagles Unscripted.
I wasn't thinking about it when I was running. It just happened.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good, and by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Welcome back to Eagles Unscripted. We continue our conversation now with Eagles wide receiver and return man Damaris Johnson. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Dennis told us that you guys as a rookie class are pretty close. Is that true?
Definitely. I think just in training camp, guys just coming in not knowing what to expect. So you cling to one another, asking questions like, do we wear this today? Do we wear this tomorrow? Because we're not sure. So, I mean, definitely we got close, and I think there's a lot of great guys in our rookie class.
The punt return. It's now the stuff of legend. It could be a record that ends up standing forever. Take me through, first of all, take me through why it is that you fielded a punt on the two-yard line. But after we get past that, then take me through the rest.
It just was a play in the game. I just thought that we needed a spark. And I can tell by which play we called that I was going to have time to get it back to at least the 15-yard line. So I was just trying to make a spark for the team. I caught the ball. The first thing I saw was three defenders unblocked. So I was like, oh, man, I just got to make a play. So I ended up making a few guys miss, and a lot of my teammates, they just got in the way, blocked a few guys, and led me to the end zone, which I had to outrun the punter, which that guy, I have to say, he was real fast, man. People say that, oh, DU runs. No, that punter was real fast. Got to give him credit.
Moving forward, as we come down to the end of this season, all the knowledge that you have from OTAs right on through week 17. Where are you going to put all that? How are you going to process all that? And how's that going to make you better next year?
It's been a tough year. I mean, starting the season off as the starting punt return, I mean, I felt great. Then a few games I got deactivated. So that took its course with me, and it just showed me not to take anything for granted. I'm eager to start the next season. So, I mean, I'm going to enjoy my off season, but I'll be thinking about football during the whole time.
Let's go right now.
Yeah.
What's been the most memorable part of season number one for you?
I'm going to say that the first game against the Cleveland Browns, we were struggling on the offense a lot, but we went into halftime, made adjustments. Vic came out. Vic gave a speech. Jason Avant, guys just talking, just said, stay in. And we overcame a terrible game we were playing. But it just felt great just to have that close team. And we came out with the victory. And that felt great just flying back here with my first NFL win. It just felt great.
We appreciate you being here. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for this edition of and for season one of Eagles Unscripted. We've had a rare opportunity here to get to know some of these players. Not the guys who you see out on the field, but the guys who are there underneath the helmet and the pads. It's been a lot of fun getting a chance to know them, getting a chance to talk to them and find out more about who they are. And we want to thank them for being a part of that. And thank you for being here with us. We look forward to seeing you again next season.